The America Radio Network News, I'm Corey Morris. Dozens may be dead now following a string of tornadoes that roared through the Midwest yesterday. Kansas City, Kansas Mayor Carol Marinovich says she knows so far of only one confirmed death in her city, and she knows it could have been a lot worse.
When you see the destruction in the area, we were just so fortunate that there weren't more fatalities. It's obvious people were heeding the warnings and taking precautionary measures.
State of emergency has been declared in more than a half dozen counties in Kansas already. 26 people have been confirmed killed after the tornadoes moved through Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois, and into far western Tennessee and Kentucky. The Tennessee Emergency Management Agency has confirmed 10 deaths as a result of the twisters. Fatalities have also been reported in Missouri. U.S. officials say another of Iraq's most wanted fugitives is now in custody. Uda Salih Mahdi Amash reportedly has knowledge about weapons programs under Saddam Hussein's rule. She is 53 on the list of 55 most wanted. She was arrested in Baghdad. The International Atomic Energy Agency says it wants the U.S. to allow its inspectors into Iraq to investigate reports of widespread looting at the country's nuclear facilities. Yesterday's Washington Post says sites with large amounts of highly radioactive material appear to have been looted, and it's impossible to say so far if any nuclear materials are missing. China is stepping up its measures to contain the SARS outbreak in Beijing. Authorities there have ordered the schools in the capital city remain closed for another 2 weeks in an effort to limit the spread of the virus. More from reporter Steve Moore.
The SARS outbreak in China has resulted in extreme measures from the country's government. China's sacked officials nationwide for failing to implement the tough measures to contain the deadly disease, and the health ministry has reported 7 new SARS deaths. Beijing's borne the brunt of the epidemic in China, with 100 deaths and at least 1,800 known cases. Outside of China, SARS deaths and infections appear to be stabilizing, with Singapore and Taiwan each reporting only one new SARS death on Sunday. Steve Mort reporting.
Your mission, Mother's Day shopping. Your goal, find gifts that make mom happy. Your rendezvous point, Radio Shack. Consider the following. A talking picture frame to hold snapshots and a recording of how much you love her, $9.99. The Honeywell Environizer, an electronic air purifier to help mom breathe easier, $99.99. A Palm Zire PDA to keep mom organized and on schedule, $99.99. Should you fail these objectives, Mother's Day could self-destruct. Good luck, shopper. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like...
Belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a...
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Arkansas today will be the latest stop for President Bush as he travels the country to push his tax cut proposal. Mr. Bush will discuss the economy at a rally today in Little Rock. He's making the trip as he heads back to Washington after hosting Australia's prime minister this weekend at his Texas ranch. Meanwhile, President Bush's approval rating remains high, but not quite as high as it was just a few weeks ago. A new Newsweek poll shows 65% of Americans are pleased with how the president is handling his presidency. That's down from 71% 3 weeks ago. 69% of respondents also say they like the way Mr. Bush handled the war in Iraq.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Thousands gathered yesterday to remember Lacey Peterson and her son at a memorial. That story from correspondent Steve Fredericks.
The public memorial service for the murdered mother-to-be drew about 3,000 people, most of whom never knew her personally. Those who did spoke lovingly of their friend, daughter, and sister. Brent Rocha told of something his sister once said to him.
About 3 years ago at a funeral for our grandmother, she mentioned, well, you know, when I die, I don't want people to be sad.
The event was not entirely somber. Friends told of funny incidents that happened in Lacey Peterson's life. Scott Peterson was not allowed to attend the service. He's in Stanislaus County Jail, charged with the murders of his wife and their unborn son. He will be at a bail hearing today. His parents also did not attend, saying it was out of respect for Lacey's family. In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
A hearing is scheduled for today in Modesto, California, to determine if the arrest and search warrants against Scott Peterson will be unsealed and made available to the public. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Arctic to Panama, from all the way up north, all the way down to the equator on the Sirius satellite from the depths of outer space, and broadcasting around the world live on the internet and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. at radiopower.org, also on the internet. This is Tom Hartman speaking with you. We're calling for a return to the old values that made America great. The expression that I like to use is that I'm representing the radical middle. The terms left and right have just become so corrupted by folks on both sides, posturing and grandstanding and throwing mud around and whatnot, that they've lost so much meaning that I really think that most of us, most Americans, really know what they want. Most of us really understand the values that this country was founded on. And we also realize that in some ways this country is very much the holder of those values for the world. We are a beacon of light for the world in many ways. And in many ways, this country is drifting in directions that are potentially destructive to democracy, both here in the United States and around the world. And it's a concern. So we're calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, where corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians. Where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less. Where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. And tomorrow we're going to be in our recap, as it were, we're going to be talking at some length it'll be Friday, about what this issue about, is it our money or is it the government's money? You know, are we giving back money to the rich with tax cuts or are they getting to keep money that's theirs? That's a really good question. And the right has been bringing it up over and over and over in a single frame, and one that I think we need to examine another frame, and then you can decide. We can compare them. Our quote for the day is from Abraham Lincoln. In 1865, he said, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy. where people can work together, and then it's the end of quote from Abraham Lincoln, where people can work to get ahead, but at the same time we don't leave people starving in the streets. That's in large part my vision of what America can and should be. On our chat room, or in our on our bulletin board on TomHartmann.com, we have a couple of messages here to share with you. Finisher from Chicago Suburbs says, keep up the good work. Thank you. Jeannie from Kamuela, Hawaii, says, I've been reading your books, essays on common dreams, and listening to your radio show, and appreciate your thinking greatly. I've wondered, given that you were discussing on your show today the broad health needs as the political system affects them, why it is that you do not discuss the fact that Howard Dean, she says, apparently you and your guests are from Vermont, or the guest, yesterday we had Dr. Deborah Richter on, who's a physician in Vermont, and I am in Vermont. In fact, I'm broadcasting from the People's Republic of Vermont here in the Green Mountains. She says, how come you haven't discussed the fact that Howard Dean, also of Vermont, and running to replace the Bush Group, talks about his past action of instituting health insurance for most of Vermont's citizens as something that could work for the U.S. if he's elected? It appears to me, Jeannie from Hawaii says, that that might be an incremental step in the right direction, and that we need incremental steps as soon as possible. Jeannie, I agree with you, and I haven't been overtly talking about or promoting Howard Dean on the program, in part because we haven't done a show about that particular topic, about electoral politics or the Democratic Party politics. And I've been, the way that we're organizing this show is basically raising a question for each hour and trying to work around that question, look at it from many different aspects so that the show ultimately becomes a useful, powerful information vehicle for learning about democracy and understanding how America can work. For example, our question for this hour is going to be, has America lost its moral compass? What does morality have to do with democracy? What are those issues? And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But just to answer your question about Howard Dean, Howard Dean was our governor here in Vermont for, I think, 10 years, 8 or 10 years. I've only lived in Vermont for 7, so he was the governor all the time that I've lived here. And I think he was an excellent governor. I've lived in Georgia. We lived in Atlanta for 16 years. We lived in Germany for a year, and I grew up in Michigan. So I've lived in those different places, and I've seen governors come and go in all of those places. And back when we lived in Michigan, I was relatively involved with politics for a while. A roommate of mine was a state representative. And very clear in my mind is the reality that Howard Dean was an excellent governor, that he kept his word, that he did what he said, that he made some friends and he made some enemies, because he was willing to make hard choices. And sometimes those hard choices offended people on the left, and sometimes they offended people on the right, but they were always the things that he thought were the best things for the state. And so, you know, in my personal opinion, he's a straight shooter, and I think that he's one of the best of the bunch out there. But it's, you know, at this point, that's just my personal opinion, and I'm not going to paint the show with it. So I just say that in answer to your question. I think Dean's a good guy, and I think that we all should keep a close eye on him, because he's going to go someplace. Enrique, I think it's pronounced Enrique. It might be Enrique, E-N-R-I-Q-U-E, from Santa Fe, says, Dear Tom, today's show was amazing. Can we get some of these statistics posted? All any Democrat would need to do in 2004 is use a transcript of the show as their platform to win. I'm assuming that he's talking about, or that you're talking, Enrique, about yesterday's program when we were citing the article from the New York Times, and that's where you'll find this. You can find it on their website, New York Times or nytimes.com. They archive 1 week's worth of news stories that you can download. At more than a week, you've got to pay them a couple dollars per download, as I recall. But you'll find this was a front page story in yesterday's New York Times. I don't have it in front of me now, but it was the headline was pretty obvious. You couldn't mistake it. It was about how the Bush tax cuts from the last cycle, from 2001-2002, are causing states all across the United States now to have to dump people from their health programs, in addition to many other consequences. But this was, we were talking about health care in that segment. So I would suggest that you track down the New York Times there. Bill from Hoffman Estates, Illinois, wrote about contracts being awarded on the good old buddy system in the USA. And this is relevant to our topic for today of, has America lost its moral compass? We'll get back to this in some more detail, Bill. But you make a good good point about the Iraqi oil reserves, and we'll get to that. And Jeannie from Hawaii says about Iraq, we shouldn't be reconstructing anything. The United Nations should be allowed to handle Iraq's reconstruction. Keep writing that to all your congresspeople over and over. Some of them already agree. We have to keep reminding them or get rid of them. And so thank you for sharing that with us, Jeannie. I appreciate the sentiment and the information. So has America lost its moral compass? You know, I'm sure you've probably heard by now, because it was all over the press. This is the kind of newsy fluff stuff that people love, in part because it's newsy fluff, and in part because there's actually a deeper truth underneath it. It brings out something that's a larger issue about the mayor in Mount Sterling, Iowa, a little town of 50 people, who wants to pass a law making it illegal for people to lie. And the article in the New York Times last Friday, there was the guy who killed a dozen deer with a bow and arrow. A dozen! And just last week, a couple of hunters trapped a mouse in their cabin so fat its tail weighed 3 pounds. A 3-pound tail! And they go on about all these tall tales that people have told in the place of Joe Hammett, the mayor of this tiny Fox River town in just north of the Missouri border. And I think he runs like a hunting supplies and convenience store sort of thing. This is a town with a population of 40. Although the article notes, Mr. Hamlet counts 53 if you believe him, and they go on from there. So it's raised some interesting questions. Humans, of course, are guaranteed by the First Amendment the right to tell lies, and except under oath, except under certain circumstances, and the right to lie is one that is pretty important to life, because most relationships wouldn't function with it or without it. You know, how can we maintain normal social discourse? But these little white lies or tall tales about fishing stories, I don't think that these are the kinds of things that really get back to the issue of has America lost its moral compass. It's almost a distraction to get into that at some length, as the media has so much over the last week. Instead, I think that we should be looking at some of the larger issues that have to do with fundamental morality. And what do we mean by morality in a democracy? I'm not speaking of the issues that some people who wave the banner of morality say, this is about morality. You know, it's about, fill in the blanks. Mostly issues that have to do with religion or sexuality or drug use or personal behavior. Those are all social issues, and they all have their place in the dialogue and discourse of America. But the real core morality issue that I'm concerned about is, what are the core values that we hold as Americans? I would suggest to you that in the last 20 or 30 years, those values have been turned very significantly in a large percentage of people, not a majority, but a significant percentage of people now have shifted away from the traditional American values of fairness and democracy and the classic idea on which this country was founded. The notion, you know, when Madison and Jefferson and Franklin looked at the Iroquois Confederacy, for example, or when they looked back at the Greek democracy or the Roman interactivity in the Roman Republic, they borrowed little pieces from all. But particularly Greek democracy and the Iroquois Confederacy, which in synthesis were what they built the Constitution of this country out of. When they looked at those things, they got it that there was this idea that one of the purposes of government was to provide for the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of its citizens. And they chose those words very, very carefully. It wasn't just a throwaway line to toss into the Declaration of Independence. That government holds things in common, that we all contribute to that commons, that by being a member of the society, that by being a citizen, we are voluntarily participating in that commons. And there are certain obligations and responsibilities that come with that voluntary participation, very real ones and very important ones, that are at the core of morality in a democracy. We'll be back in just a break. After this break, this is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Taking Care of Business is that song. And Taking Care of Business is something that is being done substantially now in the halls of Washington, D.C. As we look at this question of, has America lost its moral compass? The question is, are there times when it's a lie, or are there times when it's a simple deception? What is the core value of America, and how is that being changed? For example, we have a couple of days ago, this is from the White House, we have our president who is engaging in a little interesting mathematics here. Now, if you know how to divide by 10 or by 1,000, you know that a billion is 1,000 million, right? 1 billion equals 1,000 million. So 550 billion, if we were to make a million one, then 550 billion would be 550,000. Just keep that in mind. One is to 550,000 as 1 million is to 550 billion.
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than a million new jobs by the end of 2004.
Now, you do the math on that. That's $550,000 per job. What kind of wild idea is this? And why isn't anybody in the press, or why isn't the president, for that matter, saying, you know, we think we ought to give corporations and wealthy people in America $500,000 for every job that they create. I tell you, they give me $500,000, I'll hire somebody in a heartbeat. I might even pay them $200,000, $300,000. Heck, I could pay them $450,000 and still make a good profit. Although I doubt that $450,000 jobs are going to be created by that $550,000 that's being given to the corporations to create one job. Is it moral that our politicians speak to us like this? Is it moral that our media ignores the obvious deceptions that are implicit in these sorts of things? This sort of thing, the obvious deceptions when Bush was saying, oh, you know, we're going into Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction, when back last September, Chalabi, the guy who we have now put in as the head of, or we're proposing to be the president of Iraq, was quoted in the Washington Post as saying that taking over Iraq would be great for the American oil companies. Where is the morality in this? The larger question, I think, has to do with the vision for America. What kind of vision are we holding for the United States? Are we holding a vision that this country should have a strong and broad middle class, and that those among us who are the least fortunate, the poorest, the least competent, by virtue of, in some cases, their own choices, and by virtue, in some cases, of stuff that they have absolutely no control over and nothing to do with, are we going to have a society that provides a modicum of comfort for all of its citizens? Or are we going to have a society in which it's pure dog-eat-dog, and the rich rise to the top, and the power aggregates in a few hands, and everybody else better start pedaling faster and faster and faster if they want to survive? Which of these visions is the vision for America? And I would suggest that these are the two contrasting views. This was the argument between Jefferson and Hamilton back in 1780 and 1790. This was the argument that led to the split between the Federalist Party of John Adams and Alexander Hamilton, when there was only one party in the United States, and the creation of the Democratic Republican Party by Thomas Jefferson, which then later became called the Democratic Party.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for Mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories Mom will love. So pick up the phone and make Mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 525 with two-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Bonus $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller. While New York City holds out hope for $1 billion in temporary budget relief from the state, the axe is already falling on many public sector workers. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg plans to lay off 6,600 municipal employees and has warned of as many as 15,000 more job cuts to come. Gwendolyn Richardson is recording Secretary for Communications Workers Local 1180.
It is far more fair to ask a family who earns $250,000 a year to pay an additional percentage point in personal income taxes than it is to ask people who could least afford it for $600 million in give backs.
Tax the rich!
This evening, unions representing thousands of public employees will rally outside New York City Hall to call for progressive taxation and an end to job cuts and privatization.
Israel is back on the verge of a general strike after talks between the country's main federation of unions and the government broke down over the weekend. The general strike is expected to begin tomorrow morning. It'll most likely lead to the closure of Israel's government agencies, banks, ports, and railways, as well as most major corporations doing business in the country. Israel's government is running a massive deficit due to the ongoing Palestinian intifada and occupation of Palestinian territories. It proposed a 5 to 12% across-the-board cut in workers' wages, as well as the reduction or abolishment of several government-sponsored benefits programs.
Lockheed Martin workers in Texas have ended their two-week strike with a declaration of victory. Under a new contract approved by union members, workers get added holidays, a 4% raise in the first year, and 3% hikes in the second and third years, plus a $1,500 signing bonus to sweeten the deal. On the downside, they'll see higher out-of-pocket expenses for prescription drugs.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
That's the sound of the man working on the chain gang. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting live world to world on the IE America Radio Network over the internet on the Sirius satellite, channel 145, and on terrestrial stations from the Rockies to the Atlantic. Our question today is, has America lost its moral compass? If you'd like to discuss the issue, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Greenith, I think it is, G-R-E-E-N-I-N-T-H, Greenith, just popped into our chat room at TomHartman.com and said, what do you think about Kucinich versus Dean? it's a little bit off topic, but we started out answering some of these questions, and I really appreciate you coming in there and sending us that note. My personal thoughts are that they both bring a lot to the table. Both of these men bring tremendous new ideas and vitality to the Democratic Party, and I hope that there's a renaissance in the Democratic Party. I continue to believe that there's a possibility that it's possible that the party as an institution can turn away from its corporate paymasters, and that it doesn't just become Republican light. Harry Truman said, who was a Democrat, Harry Truman said that when voters are offered a choice between a Republican and a Democrat who behaves like a Republican, they'll vote for the Republican every time. And I think that's very true, and I think that that's one of the problems that the Democratic Party is confronting. But we'll do a whole show on this one of these days soon here. But for right now, back to, has America lost its moral compass? What is the agenda of the neoconservative group? It's pretty straightforward, and again, it's one that I think that they view as a positive for America. And then there's the historic view of America, and it's this collision of the two then has created this kind of culture war that has brought about people staking out positions on both sides that in many cases just plain old flat out are not honest. These positions don't have integrity. We have Dr. Robert Schachetz?
It's Schachetz. S-H-A-K-I-T.
Thank you very much, Dr. Schachetz, on the line. He's a management consultant and organizational psychologist advising many Fortune 500 companies on the issue of trust. Dr. Schachetz, in this era of politicians lying to us on right across the spectrum, how do we recover trust in public dialogues?
Well, we have to dig our way a little bit further than we've ever had to before. As long as we suspect that they have indeed been lying to us and we have evidence that they lied to us, it just makes us more cynical than we were before. And so some people stay more permanently in the cynical view that I won't trust them as far as I can throw them, and some will just take a little bit longer to come around.
This is one of my big concerns, is that so many people, you know, for example, they listen to George Bush saying that, you know, he wants a $550 billion tax cut because that's going to create a million jobs. Yet, if you do the math on that, that's $550,000 per job. So, you know, I have a small corporation. If he gave me $550,000, I'd hire somebody for, you know, whatever. I mean, hire him for minimum wage, $10,300 a year. People just, you know, do the simple math on this and go, wait a minute, this guy's not telling me the truth. There's another agenda here. And how do you, I am concerned that so many people are becoming so cynical about the American political process that they're not participating, that the people who don't vote are the largest single block of voters. How in America can we respond to this?
Well, I guess it's the same concern about faith in any leader. As long as we have leaders who we do not feel are credible, then we don't, we feel powerless, we're just going to drop out. I could answer more about, you know, how can we have a feeling of assessing credibility. So I can go back a step and think about, let me see, are our leaders credible? The two things you look for when you're looking at trust and credibility, you're looking for, do I trust their competency and do I trust their intent? And their competency is assessed by what they're supposed to do for us. Are they good enough? And they know what they're talking about? Or, are they capable? And maybe that's a problem in itself there. The other one, though, it seems to be even more important typically, is do I trust their intent? That is, do they have my best interest at heart? Or do they have an interest that's more linked with them, their family, and their friends?
Yeah, John Adams back long ago, 1789, as I recall, said that the purpose of government should not be to inure to the benefit of any one man or class of men. That, you know, and boy, have we seen that go down the tubes in the last 50 years or so. I mean, ever since Dwight Eisenhower's warning about the military-industrial complex and not just that. I mean, just this whole kind of commercial takeover of discourse in America. Dr. Schachetz, you have a website?
I do. And it's very appropriately labeled Recapturing the Trust. And so it is, in fact, www.recapturingthetrust.com. That's great. The name of my first book I wrote about 2.5 years ago, R-E-C-A-P-T-U-R-I-N-G, thetrust1word.com.
Great. And your latest book is The Seven Conditions of Trust. Dr. Shagat, thank you very much for being on the program with us today. I really appreciate your being available.
My pleasure.
Thanks. Now back to the neoconservative agenda. What is, and see, this, I think this comes back to the issue, and our question here, has America lost its moral compass? Perhaps not. Maybe we just have got a different one. Maybe we've acquired a different one. William Greider in the Nation this month has this extraordinary article in which he basically outlines, and this isn't any secret. I mean, you can find this. You can find it in Newt Gingrich's Contract on America. You can find it right. This is all just right out in the open, defining the conservative, the neoconservative agenda. This is not the conservative agenda of Dwight Eisenhower. This is what at one time was the conservative agenda, perhaps of Harding, and is now the neo, and was Reagan's agenda, and Newt Gingrich's agenda, and now is Bush's agenda. And he just goes through these items, eliminating federal taxation on private capital as the essential predicate for dismantling a progressive income tax, number one. Number two, gradually phasing out the pension fund retirement system as we know it, starting with Social Security, and breaking up the huge public employee funds and converting them into individualized accounts. Number three, withdrawing the federal government from a direct role in housing, health care, assistance to the poor, and many other long-established social priorities. Number four, restore churches to a more influential role by using public money. Number five, strengthen the hand of business enterprise against burdensome regulatory obligations, especially environmental protection, by making these protections voluntary and what's called, quote, market-driven. And number six, smash organized labor. These are, you know, this is the agenda of the neoconservative right, and they're not hiding it. I mean, this isn't like, you know, some revelation. And they fly in the face of and absolutely contradict the agenda that was put forth by Roosevelt in the 30s and into the early 40s and carried on by Truman and Kennedy and LBJ and Jimmy Carter of a, and I would say Eisenhower as well, of a more compassionate view of America, a concerned view of America, an idea that we're all in this together. And as it is with tribal people around the world, if any of us is sick, all of us are sick. If any of us is homeless, all of us are homeless. This is the vision of the founders of this country. And this is the vision, I believe, that most Americans hold, that most Americans are fundamentally fair, and they are concerned about their fellow person, and they do subscribe to Judeo-Christian values and the parallels across the spectrum in other religions as well, and that we are, in some regards, our brother's keeper. And it's not about, you know, grabbing power over others. It's about making this a world in which we want to live. I remember after Reagan cut funding to mental hospitals in the United States in order to help pay for his Star Wars program, and because his tax cuts had, you know, started the deficit so high, he had to start slashing social programs. And in big cities around America, and I used to travel a lot back then, in big cities around America, suddenly there were all these homeless people on the streets that had never been there before. In the 1960s, I hitchhiked all the way, you know, from Michigan to San Francisco and back, and from Texas to California, you know, all over the United States. I as a kid, you know, and I had visited much of America on the ground, and we didn't have homeless people. And now they're like, you know, what does this do to the quality of life of even the rest of us, much less people who are homeless? This is the Tom Hartman Program. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 if you'd like to comment. So, total federal taxes, as we get into this issue of what is the morality of the the neoconservative agenda versus what is the morality of a more progressive or liberal agenda, and what really, ultimately, I think the bigger question is, what is the morality of the middle of America, the what I call the radical middle, that is, pretty much all of the rest of us? Has America lost its moral compass? Tax Facts and Fantasies, an article in the U.S. News and World Report, April 28th, says, total federal taxes, this is by Jody Allen, total federal taxes, including payroll, excise, and others, take a smaller share of most taxpayers' incomes than in any year since 1979. And for a family of four in the middle income range, they've forked over less of their income to the feds than since 1957. The big bulk of families now pay more in payroll taxes than in income taxes, end quote. Income taxes are mostly paid by those making over $80,000 a year. Payroll taxes constitute the largest tax paid by people making under $81,000 a year. And according to the IRS, so this is the back to the U.S. News and World Report's story, Tax Facts and Fantasies by Jody Allen. The latest Internal Revenue Service data show that by 2000, the top 1% of households reaped 21% of national income. The CBO found that between 1979 and 1997, that group, that top 1%, had their income increased by 157% to a record high. Now, there's also an anomaly, an artifact in these numbers. Very often you'll hear neoconservatives say, well, the top 20% means that you make more than $85,000 a year. Or the top 10% means that you make more than $132,000. They use these numbers from the IRS. The problem is that the IRS's statistics are weird because, and this is no secret, by the way, to anybody in government, and it's been this way for years and years, because the IRS counts anybody who has an income of greater than $1 million as having an income of $1 million for the purposes of compiling statistics. In other words, Bill Gates, whose personal income is equal to that of the 46%, the bottom 46% of Americans, one man, Bill Gates' income, when the IRS is calculating the top 10% of income earners, they consider him to have $1 million. Not his billions and billions. Because back when they first started doing the statistical analysis, they were using these old UNIVAC computers with vacuum tubes and whatnot, and the computers couldn't count to a billion. Or they couldn't divide to a billion. I don't know. There was some mathematical problem. So they simply said, anybody who has an income of over $1 million, we'll simply call them millionaires. And so as a result, the real numbers are almost impossible to get. But we know that these numbers that say, well, the top 20% is people who make over $80,000, the top 10% is people who make over $130,000, they're absolute nonsense. And yet, they are being trotted out constantly by saying, on the one hand, oh, we want to give a tax cut to the rich. Oh, and by the way, you are the rich. But somehow, you don't end up with the tax cut. So, you know, what's this about? 92 million Americans... for example, the administration says, back to U.S. News and World Report, this article says 92 million Americans will receive an average tax cut of $1,083, according to the administration. How to explain the administration's boast? In fact, the article says the Urbans Brookings Tax Policy Center, nearly 70% of filers would get $500 or less, while those earning $1 million or more would average over $90,000. Or what about the claim that this is going to help the elderly, when it's actually only going to help the 19% of the elderly who have incomes over $75,000? I'm paraphrasing now. Here's a quote. Or that our troops in Iraq need a break when, computes John Hopkins economist Christopher Carroll, less than a quarter of 1% of the tax cut would flow to military families in total. Have we lost our connection to reality? Have we lost our connection to morality in the United States? Here's another. This is a wild one. Molly Ivins wrote a great article. You can find it all over the web. I found it on the Working for Change, the Working Assets website, from Creators Syndicate. I think it's also on commondreams.org. She points out that the administration has put forth a rule change, and the Republicans in both the House and Senate have put forward laws that would do away with the 40-hour work week. She says, consider the Family Time and Flexible Workplace Flexibility Act Senate version and the Family Time Flexibility Act House version. The Bush administration is leading the charge with proposed new rules that will erode the 40-hour work week and affect more than 80 million workers now protected by the Fair Labor Standards Act. And the phrasing of these laws is about freedom and freedom of choice. Well, the freedom and freedom of choice is the freedom of choice of the employer. What these laws will do are, well, here, these two bills would, bang, exclude previously protected workers who are entitled to overtime by reclassifying them as managers. Eliminate certain middle-income workers from overtime protections by adding an income limit. We'll get to that right after this break. And remove overtime protections from large numbers of people in some of the major defense industries in the United States. We'll be covering this and more when we come back after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste, we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about, has America lost its moral compass? There's an op-ed piece, an opinion piece in today's Wall Street Journal. It's called an Oil for People program. And there's a sentence in here that just perfectly captures this clash of worldviews that we're talking about. The article is about proposals that are being put forward about how do we handle the oil that's in Iraq so that it doesn't all end up, you know, just profits to some company. Some of it ends up in the hands of the Iraqi people. And yet, you know, should it be handled by the government of Iraq, or should it be handled by ExxonMobil, or should it be handled by the United States government? Or, I mean, there's all these dueling theories and ideas that are being put forth. And in endorsing broadly two of the ideas that have been put forth in this Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, they're suggesting basically that this should all be handled by private corporations. And here's the sentence. This is from an Oil for People program by Susan Lee in today's Wall Street Journal. Susan Lee says, quote, "This proposal cuts out the government and thus reduces opportunities for waste, graft, and corruption." End of quote. Now, the last time I looked, we lived in a democracy where the government was answerable to its people. Now, I know there are many who would argue that we are moving away from that, and I have many of those same concerns myself. But nonetheless, at least in theory, and I think in large part in practical reality, the United States is a democratic republic defined by its constitution, where our elected officials are answerable to us. And, yeah, sure, there have been abuses. I mean, Mayor Daley's machine in Chicago is the one everybody likes to point to. But such things, particularly with local politics, they've happened all over the country. But then, Senator Pothole, Al D'Amato in New York. I mean, people argue, well, they're just giving people what they want. But corporations are answerable to nobody. Nobody votes for them. So what prevents graft and corruption in corporations? The answer? Nothing. Look at what happened with Enron. Is this who we want to hand all this over to? I think not. So, anyhow, the idea, democracy, democracy works. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi. Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution.
It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop,
a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The death toll so far stands at 26 after a string of powerful tornadoes ripped across much of the central portion of the United States yesterday. That figure includes 10 deaths in Tennessee, 9 in Missouri, and 7 in neighboring Kansas. Rescue efforts and the search for more victims continue today. Pierce City, Missouri Police Chief Mike Abramovitz says nearly every building in his town was in some way damaged by yesterday's storms.
We're still assessing the situation, and a lot of these buildings are over 100 years old that we have here in the town, or we had here in the town.
Abramovitz said yesterday's weather was actually fine overall, and the twister, in his words, just came out of nowhere. Rescue workers are still trying to free several people buried in an armory that was being used as a shelter. The National Storm Prediction Center says it's received more than 80 tornado sighting reports beginning early yesterday morning. More than 200 delegates from various Iraqi ethnic and religious groups are electing a chamber of council members in the northern city of Mosul today. Coalition Commander General David Petraeus says the parties taking part in the vote today are by and large the same as those taking part in wider talks on the future leadership of Iraq in Baghdad.
We sought to cast a very wide net to be as inclusive as possible and to try to ensure a representative government here in Mosul and Nineveh province.
This is the first vote since Saddam Hussein was removed from power. Petraeus says some, however, are refusing to vote due to their non-belief in representative government. The gathering is expected to pick a 24-member council to govern for the time being. After they're elected, the newly chosen representatives will then pick a mayor from among three candidates. And the first interim government for all of Iraq could be in place by the middle of this month. The American in charge of post-war reconstruction, retired U.S. General Jay Garner, says the interim leaders would be made up of 9 Iraqis representing the country's ethnic and religious spectrum. Garner says some members could be returning exiles, others already local citizens. That core group would serve as Iraq's point of contact for Americans during the post-Saddam Hussein reconstruction phase following the war in Iraq.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 5/25 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like...
Belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a...
Tightwad.
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
An autopsy today should determine if a man found shot to death in Maine last week took his own life. Daniel Bondison has been linked to the arsenic poisonings of more than a dozen people last week at his New Sweden, Maine church. One person died. 2 others are still in critical condition. There's a new twist now, apparently, in the case of suspected Washington, D.C. area serial sniper Lee Malvo. Malvo's former court-appointed guardian is telling the Washington Post the teen, in his opinion, was likely brainwashed by alleged accomplice John Muhammad during last fall's shooting spree.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The lead defense attorney for Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh says recent revelations an FBI lab chief may have given false testimony during McVeigh's trial may help co-conspirator Terry Nichols. A preliminary hearing on state murder charges against Nichols starts today in Oklahoma City. McVeigh's attorney Stephen Jones says the FBI's lab practices have come under fire before.
A lot of people have played that down until last week when there was this stunning disclosure about this fabrication of evidence and inconsistent statements and, in my opinion, perjury by Stephen Burmeister, the FBI so-called expert.
Jones says a letter by FBI employees alleging current lab chief Stephen Burmeister may have lied about a chemical used in explosives found on McVeigh's clothing may in turn help Nichols. Nichols is accused of supplying the chemicals that McVeigh used to build the bomb that destroyed the Murrah Federal Building in 1995. Jones says the allegations of false testimony could lead to a reopening of Nichols' federal case. He's serving a federal life sentence in connection with the deaths of 8 federal agents. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. Doug Steffen here. It looks like we're having some minor technical problems here.
She is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this
you're strapped
is
in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by goodwill and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast, from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Arctic to Panama, from all the way up north, all the way down to the equator on the Sirius satellite from the depths of outer space, and broadcasting around the world live on the internet and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. at radiopower.org, also on the internet. This is Tom Hartman speaking with you. We're calling for a return to the old values that made America great. The expression that I like to use is that I'm representing the radical middle. The terms left and right have just become so corrupted by folks on both sides, posturing and grandstanding and throwing mud around and whatnot, that they've lost so much meaning that I really think that most of us, most Americans, really know what they want. Most of us really understand the values that this country was founded on. And we also realize that in some ways this country is very much the holder of those values for the world. We are a beacon of light for the world in many ways. And in many ways, this country is drifting in directions that are potentially destructive to democracy, both here in the United States and around the world. And it's a concern. So we're calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, where corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. And tomorrow we're going to be in our recap, as it were, we're going to be talking at some length it'll be Friday, about what this issue about. Is it our money or is it the government's money? You know, are we giving back money to the rich with tax cuts or are they getting to keep money that's theirs? That's a really good question. And the right has been bringing it up over and over and over in a single frame, and one that I think we need to examine another frame, and then you can decide. We can compare them. Our quote for the day is from Abraham Lincoln. In 1865, he said, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy, where people can work together, and then the end of quote from Abraham Lincoln, where people can work to get ahead, but at the same time we don't leave people starving in the streets. That's in large part my vision of what America can and should be. On our chat room, or in our on our bulletin board on TomHartman.com, we have a couple of messages here to share with you. Finisher from Chicago Suburbs says, keep up the good work. Thank you. Jeannie from Kamuela, Hawaii, says, I've been reading your books, essays on common dreams, and listening to your radio show, and appreciate your thinking greatly. I've wondered, given that you were discussing on your show today the broad health needs as the political system affects them, why it is that you do not discuss the fact that Howard Dean, she says, apparently you and your guests are from Vermont, or the guest, yesterday we had Dr. Deborah Richter on, who's a physician in Vermont, and I am in Vermont. In fact, I'm broadcasting from the People's Republic of Vermont here in the Green Mountains. She says, how come you haven't discussed the fact that Howard Dean, also of Vermont, and running to replace the Bush Group, talks about his past action of instituting health insurance for most of Vermont's citizens as something that could work for the U.S. if he's elected? It appears to me, Jeannie from Hawaii says, that that might be an incremental step in the right direction, and that we need incremental steps as soon as possible. Jeannie, I agree with you, and I haven't been overtly talking about or promoting Howard Dean on the program, in part because we haven't done a show about that particular topic, about electoral politics or the Democratic Party politics. And I've been, the way that we're organizing this show is basically raising a question for each hour and trying to work around that question, look at it from many different aspects so that the show ultimately becomes a useful, powerful information vehicle for learning about democracy and understanding how America can work. For example, our question for this hour is going to be, has America lost its moral compass? What does morality have to do with democracy? What are those issues? And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But just to answer your question about Howard Dean was our governor here in Vermont for, I think, 10 years, 8 or 10 years. I've only lived in Vermont for 7, so he was the governor all the time that I've lived here. And I think he was an excellent governor. I've lived in Georgia. We lived in Atlanta for 16 years. We lived in Germany for a year, and I grew up in Michigan. So I've lived in those different places, and I've seen governors come and go in all of those places. And back when we lived in Michigan, I was relatively involved with politics for a while. A roommate of mine was a state representative. And very clear in my mind is the reality that Howard Dean was an excellent governor, that he kept his word, that he did what he said, that he made some friends and he made some enemies, because he was willing to make hard choices. And sometimes those hard choices offended people on the left, and sometimes they offended people on the right, but they were always the things that he thought were the best things for the state. And so, you know, in my personal opinion, he's a straight shooter, and I think that he's one of the best of the bunch out there. But it's, you know, at this point, that's just my personal opinion, and I'm not going to paint the show with it. So I just say that in answer to your question. I think Dean's a good guy, and I think that we all should keep a close eye on him, because he's going to go someplace. Enrique, I think it's pronounced Enrique, it might be Enrique, E-N-R-I-Q-U-E, from Santa Fe, says, Dear Tom, today's show was amazing. Can we get some of these statistics posted? All any Democrat would need to do in 2004 is use a transcript of this show as their platform to win. I'm assuming that he's talking about, or that you're talking, Enrique, about yesterday's program when we were citing the article from the New York Times, and that's where you'll find this. You can find it on their website, New York Times or nytimes.com. They archive 1 week's worth of news stories that you can download. At more than a week, you've got to pay them a couple dollars per download, as I recall. But you'll find this was a front page story in yesterday's New York Times. I don't have it in front of me now, but it was the headline was pretty obvious. You couldn't mistake it. It was about how the Bush tax cuts from the last cycle, from 2001-2002, are causing states all across the United States now to have to dump people from their health programs, in addition to many other consequences. But this was, we were talking about health care in that segment. So I would suggest that you track down the New York Times there. Bill from Hoffman Estates, Illinois, wrote about contracts being awarded on the good old buddy system in the USA. And this is relevant to our topic for today of has America lost its moral compass? We'll get back to this in some more detail, Bill. But you make a good point about the Iraqi oil reserves, and we'll get to that. And Jeannie from Hawaii says about Iraq, we shouldn't be reconstructing anything. The United Nations should be allowed to handle Iraq's reconstruction. Keep writing that to all your congresspeople over and over. Some of them already agree. We have to keep reminding them or get rid of them. And so thank you for sharing that with us, Jeannie. I appreciate the sentiment and the information. So has America lost its moral compass? You know, I'm sure you've probably heard by now, because it was all over the press. This is the kind of newsy fluff stuff that people love, in part because it's newsy fluff, and in part because there's actually a deeper truth underneath it. It brings out something that's a larger issue about the mayor in Mount Sterling, Iowa, a little town of 50 people, who wants to pass a law making it illegal for people to lie. And the article in the New York Times last Friday, there was the guy who killed a dozen deer with a bow and arrow. A dozen! And just last week, a couple of hunters trapped a mouse in their cabin so fat its tail weighed 3 pounds. A 3-pound tail! And they go on about all these tall tales that people have told in the place of Joe Hammett,
hey,
the mayor of
this
tiny Fox River
for the
town.
Summer. Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donut.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to Toyota.com/owners. For valuable service special coupons.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen. Talk
Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. It's about 25 minutes after the hour, and we're talking about, is democracy served by censorship, either of the corporate or the governmental variety? I'm suggesting it's not. In fact, in our Bill of Rights for the 21st Century, which you'll find on our website at tomhartman.com, number two is, we own our government and our commons. That is, it is us, we are it. And there are certainly things that it's appropriate, I think, for governments to keep secret, you know, military issues, things that have to do with security, certainly. But censorship broadly, is this a useful thing? Let's look at some of the things that are happening here. Bill Nevins, a 10th grade humanities teacher at Rio Rancho High School, was placed on administrative leave as a teacher in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The suspension occurred after Courtney Butler, a senior high school student, read her poem over the school's closed-circuit TV system. The principal also disbanded the writing club and the poetry team because a student read a poem. Now, what kind of poem would inspire such a response? If you have a thought on this, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Similarly, or not similarly, but along the same lines of censorship, in November of 2002, the Pentagon, this is incredible, the Pentagon says to a reporter who files a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the Pentagon, asking to see a videotape that the Pentagon produced. The Pentagon says, we're not going to show you this videotape because it's so secret. Now, what's the videotape? The videotape is called, it's a 22-minute video produced for the Pentagon. It's called, quote, Freedom of Information Act, the People's Right to Know, end quote. It's a videotape that the Pentagon produced to instruct its employees in how to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests. And they said to this reporter, sorry, we're not going to let you see this thing, and even if you sue us, we're not going to let you see it. Whoa! Where have we gone here? Where have we gone? What is going on? We're putting teachers on administrative leave and disbanding poetry classes because a child in a classroom reads a poem that talked about politics. Not, it wasn't about sexuality, it wasn't about, anti-religion, it wasn't anti-any group, it was about politics. And this guy nearly loses his job. The poetry club gets dissolved. What has America come to? Of course, you know, back May 30th of last year, the Department of Justice announced new guidelines. This is following up on the Patriot Act that will give FBI agents greater latitude to monitor internet sites, libraries, and religious institutions without offering any evidence of even potential criminal activity. And, on it goes. John in North Carolina wants to discuss how I am being unpatriotic. Great, John. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
Well, I don't know the specifics of that case, but, you know, I can understand why the principal would want to do that. Schools aren't supposed to be meant for political discussion. I mean, they're just there to learn the basics. And
you mean like the basics of democracy?
Well, you know, they can learn democracy, you know, and there's history class and stuff. But what I'm talking about is if you're reading a poem that doesn't support the troops, it could teach the kids that, you know, that the war is not a necessarily good thing, and they might, you know.
Well, I didn't say this poem didn't support the troops. I think it might have been a poem supporting Al Gore.
Same thing.
You don't think there should be poems supporting Al Gore? Hold on the line here, John. We'll be right back after this break. It's going to take about 3 minutes, but hang on. We'll continue talking. This is Tom Hartman on IE America Radio.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
More drugs are finding their way into the water, and scientists are just beginning to figure out how they affect the environment. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists say a lot of the things we take to wake up, go to sleep, or fight illness are winding up in lakes, streams, and drinking water. Researchers are trying to determine what they do there. Colleen Flaherty studied the effects of things like antibiotics, antidepressants, and cholesterol-lowering drugs on tiny water fleas called Daphnia. These organisms are the foundation of the food chain in many freshwater ecosystems. Flaherty is a graduate student in zoology at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. She says all sorts of things we consume get into the water because they're not completely broken down by our bodies. In some cases, up to 90% of a drug can be excreted in its biologically active form. Flaherty says most of the drugs she studied get into the environment through human excretion.
When you drink a cup of coffee, or when you take an antibiotic, or an antidepressant, or a birth control pill, or anything. I mean, you can imagine how many drugs are ending up in our waterways. And they have been found in surface water, groundwater, and drinking water at very low concentrations.
Flaherty says some medications she tested altered the number and sex of the offspring of Daphnia. She says combinations of drugs, like an antibiotic mixed with a cholesterol-lowering medication, can have adverse effects on the water fleas. She says there are mixtures of drugs in the wild, and the effects of that chemical cocktail are hard to evaluate. She says people may add to the problem by flushing their unwanted or expired prescription drugs down the drain. Flaherty presented her work last year at a meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or a fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
More United we stand, divided we fall. And if our back should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, together.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. There is no doubt in my mind that the vast majority of people in the United States, whether they call themselves conservatives or liberals, progressives or neocons, Republicans or Democrats, independents or non-voters, want a secure, safe America. That they want a country where the highest values are upheld, where people have a decent quality of life. I mean, it really boils down to that. What I think are competing are these worldviews about how to accomplish that. I think it's a legitimate competition or debate, as it were, you're getting my point of view on this, of course. Justin in Tennessee wants to follow up on the conversation I was having with John just a moment ago. Justin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. This is my first time calling.
Well, pleased to have you here.
I do listen to Sirius Left all the time, but I had recently started listening to OutKeyed, the new stream, and so I hadn't gone back, and you had gotten on this show, and I had never heard you before, but I wanted to comment on this poem in New Mexico and how everything was disbanded, the poetry group and literary was it the literary magazine or...
It was the writing club and the poetry club, and I
writing club and the poetry. Yeah,
and I was going to come out of.
I'm just discussing my outrage at how this could happen. I don't know, and especially it being nothing, you know, obscene or anything. And I mean, surely she would have had to have permission anyway to do this over the closed circuit television. I don't. Is this something that the principal just later decided that he would?
Well, I think the reason why the teacher was in trouble is because the teacher should vet things, and I agree. You've got kids in a school, and if they're going to present something to the whole school, it should be vetted by somebody. Somebody should say, you know, is this appropriate for kids? Because there certainly are things that kids can say and read that aren't appropriate. I guess the question is it appropriate to discuss the issues of the day in the context of art? Because art has always historically been a vehicle for bringing out
oneself.
Yeah, well, not just expressing oneself, for expressing oneself in the context of the culture that one's surrounded by and the events of the moment. I mean, look at the art that came out of the Great Depression. Look at the art that came out of the Civil War. Look at the
and
art
they speak
that came
volumes. You know,
oh, it's extraordinary. Just extraordinary. So should we be encouraging our children in our public schools, in their art, whether it's poetry or painting or whatever, to bring up and process, because they're certainly struggling with these issues just as adults are,
and
process the issues of the day or not?
I wanted to comment on your previous caller that was saying, you know, they're there to learn the basics. And yes, that's true. I graduated in 2001. I'm a recent high school graduate. And luckily, I went to a very liberal high school, public high school, in Memphis, Tennessee, at that. And we had Young Democrats and Young Republicans group, and nothing was censored. And, you know, I mean, I feel very privileged that was the case. And actually, our Young Democrats, were more socialist than anything. And, you know, we were outspoken, you know, and we had book clubs, you know, that read Henry Miller and things like that, and we were sponsored by these teachers. And nothing had ever happened. And so I guess I'm just, you know, to see this happen in New Mexico is just, you know, horrific. And I'm scared. I'm really scared to see what's happening to this country. You know, just listening to the radio, listening to, you know, these things that are going on. I don't know. I mean, are we headed to a fascist state? Who knows?
Yeah, it's... Let's hope and pray that we're not. Justin, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate your call and your comments. To John in North Carolina, who had called earlier, you were on track. The poem really I don't know what the content of the poem was, but I think that we can safely assume that the poem had to do with the war, and in all probability it was in opposition to it. And so this is a question that I think is legitimate for discussion. Should our children in our schools be censored? Is democracy served by censorship? Are the future citizens of America well trained if we teach them that censorship is an appropriate thing? Or should we be teaching them the values of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, Alexander Hamilton and George Washington, I mean, which we're going, you know, across the spectrum of what today would be called from left to right? All of them absolutely were of the opinion that freedom of speech shall not be abridged, that the right to speak one's mind, particularly on the issues of the day, is sacred. That it is as sacred as the right to worship, the right to participate in a religion, to worship the God of your choice. It is absolutely sacred. In fact, it was enshrined in the same First Amendment to the Constitution that guaranteed freedom of religion. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion were considered so sacred and so powerful that they were written together in the First Amendment. Or should we say, nah, don't think so. Our job in a school is to teach kids to sit down and shut up. To just believe what they're told, not have opinions of their own, not share those opinions. And then we're going to expect them to grow up to be what? I lived in Germany for a year in 1986, and I knew and know I have friends who are people in their 70s, 80s, and 80s now, who lived during Hitler's time. And his control of the schools was absolute. I wrote a book, Tom Hartman's Complete Guide to ADHD. It's a book about learning disabilities, but there's a chapter in there about, called When Good German Schools Came to America. The idea of American compulsory public education found its roots in Germany in 1819, when Fichte, the German philosopher, came up with his idea of how to create an army that could defeat Napoleon. This was after the defeat in 1809 at the Battle of Jena. And Fichte's idea was that the purpose of a school is not to educate, but rather to create a compliant citizen who could become an efficient part of a war machine. And there are some who continue to argue, well, that should be the case. Should be the case. Doug in New Mexico, you've got a comment about this. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, I'm actually calling to say that there was actually three teachers in at the Albuquerque School District that were suspended because of material that was controversial in their classrooms.
This happened in your state, Doug, and thank you, by the way, for calling into the program. I appreciate it for calling 1-800-TALK-YES here on the Tom Hartman program. Doug, tell us what you know about this.
Well, it is anti-war material. Most of it was put up by students. One of the teachers actually had a poster in her classroom that was hung by a student that gave an opposing view of the whole war situation. The thing about New Mexico is it's predominantly Democratic the Democratic Party, but the majority of the people that are in the Democratic Party are highly conservative. So it's an odd state to be in.
Sure. Well, you know, I think that there are a lot of Democrats who hold what you might call conservative values, particularly fiscal conservatism, the idea that government should balance its books. And,
now, these are more like right-wing, just set-in-the-way kind of conservatives. They're not necessarily. Most of the people in New Mexico, this is one of the poorest states in the Union. You know, we have an extreme high poverty rate here, but yet they hang on to these very rigid, non-bending ways that are very geared towards conformity.
Doug, do you think that democracy is served by this? Do you think that democracy is helped by our children being censored about politics? Or do you think that...
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think it is hindering our growth as a nation towards a better way of life for everybody. And I mean everybody, including the people that are rich.
But Doug, isn't the purpose of a isn't the purpose of a school to teach kids how to read and write? I mean, you know, what business is a school doing having a dialogue about whether or not a nation should engage in a particular type of foreign policy?
That is a new way of thinking about schools. Schools way back when, 12th and 13th century, even up to the early 1700s, were very geared towards expressing the students' opinions. There were some authoritarians, but the majority of people that went to school went because they had a differing point of view and they wanted to learn more about the people and the circumstances that might have led them in that direction.
Doug, I'm right there with you, and I agree totally. And my read of American history, and I've been doing a lot of it lately, I'm working on a book right now that'll be out next year called The Athens Experiment about the history of American democracy. And I've been reading all these letters of Jefferson and Madison, primarily their letters between the two of them. And the founders just were absolutely unyielding about this and absolutely agreed. I mean, Jefferson started the University of Virginia because he felt that everybody should have access to an education regardless of their income level. Doug, I really appreciate your calling. Thanks so much for participating in the program today. We have Jeff in Dallas on the show, and Jeff wants to answer a rhetorical question about whether we're supposed to tell our kids to sit down and shut up. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, how are you?
I'm well.
It's not about, the answer is, it's not what we tell the kids, it's the reason we do it.
Yes.
And the reason we do it is because schools are becoming training academies for corporate drones, and what we're doing is we're teaching kids how to sit in a cubicle for 40 years and not think and just push paper or push buttons on a computer keyboard.
Yeah, I got to tell you a funny story, Jeff, and you know me and you know my writings. Jeff's an old friend of mine, and I've got a book coming out this fall, and I'm really not saying this to plug this book. I've got a book coming out called The Edison Gene, and it's about how what we call our ADHD kids are actually a gift to society, but our schools are trashing them and harming them and wounding them. And in that book, I was going on and on about how destructive our schools are to these children, and the editor that I have with the publisher is a teacher, and she really got offended by this. Came back with all this, oh no, teachers are just, you know, wonderful people there to help. And I know a lot of teachers, and most of them are wonderful people who are really there to help. But the problem is that they're stuck in this institution that is really, as you say, and as Doug pointed out in the last call, you know, goes back to the 19th century and was really a product of the Industrial Revolution, the purpose of which they started with the Spinnenschulen in Austria. Queen Teresa started these where the children would work for 6 hours and go to school for 2 hours and to teach them how to work in a factory. And now we've just simply replaced factory with cubicle. What do you think about that, Jeff?
I think that's exactly correct. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've really been harping on lately on my show is
Radio Left.
RadioLeft.com. And what happened? This is a question for you. It's actually two questions. First question is, what is it that the right wingers do when they get angry about what's going on?
Right.
They get organized and vote.
I'm reluctant to say that there is even one category that you can call right-wingers. I know people who identify themselves as conservatives who are not the reactionaries that
I but think see, I don't think about. Conservative but, that's not what I'm talking about. Conservative, the people who are these ultra right-wing people have destroyed the reputation of conservatives by claiming the name conservative.
I agree. Dwight Eisenhower is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, we've got two more callers on the line. Can we summarize this?
Yes. So the other side of it, though, is what do people on the left do when they get angry about what's going on? They stay at home or they vote for third-party candidates instead of getting out and working for people and expecting them to be held accountable.
So you're suggesting people on the left should take a lesson from people on the right?
Get organized and vote.
Well, I think people on both sides should be voting. I'm absolutely in favor of democracy. I really appreciate your call, Jeff. Thank you very much for calling in. And we've got Mike in Washington, D.C. Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program here on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Alive and semi-kicking.
Oh, good.
Quick question.
So your question. Yeah.
Have you had a chance to see the thing on PBS, Manor House?
I have not. I haven't had a TV for years and years. So
I have, but I try and stick to PBS Discovery or something of that sort so I can actually feed my brain occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a kind of an interesting project that they're running where they've got a completely refurbished Edwardian mansion, and they're getting a family to live there and all the attendant servants that run the mansion. And they're all living according to 1906 etiquette and so forth and so on.
Hmm.
The head of the family go, oh, gee, I could live like this. And then you get to see the absolute drudgery that was going on to support this one family. Well, of course, if you're at the top of the pyramid, it's wonderful to live this way.
Right.
And that's the problem. It seems like the Bushites are trying to get us back to that era where you have essentially landless peons which have to labor for you or starve. And
this is certainly, Mike, the core of the proposal that has been put forth in two pieces of legislation now, and now even going around the legislative process, the Bush administration has suggested an administrative rule change that anybody who earns over $21,200 a year will no longer be eligible for time and a half pay and will no longer have a 40-hour constraint. In other words, the employer can demand that they work any number of hours without any additional pay, because if they earn over this $21,000 and some odd dollars summary, then they're cut off. Mike, thanks very much. I really appreciate your call into the show today. We still have Kevin on the line in Montpelier. We'll come back to you, Kevin, after this break. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Coast.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in their efforts to control, prevent, and cure this crippling disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Use Aleve as directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Attention.
And welcome aboard.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network.
Oh, really?
The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA.
Unbelievable!
Followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded. Hi.
The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions.
Great, buddy. Yeah!
And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent.
And he's got something to say.
Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens' Talk Radio Countdown.
Good idea, O'Lord.
Of course it's a good idea.
Followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology.
You're in my world, man.
Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world.
Oh, my God!
Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes.
Have an exotic weekend, kiss your wild thing for me.
Dr. Brad Davis.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
The king of the no information, second opinion, knee-jerk response.
Thank you.
And Donna Blumel.
It's festival. All about the fun.
That's right.
The festival.
We'll answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline.
You're nothing but an animal.
We are all animals, my lady.
To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The final 3 minutes here of the Tom Hartman radio program for today. Kevin's on the line from Montpelier. Kevin, we're talking about, is democracy served by censorship, either corporate or government censorship? What are your thoughts on this?
Tom, I just have a really quick thought on it. Primarily how privatization of the commons is eroding the effectiveness of the First Amendment and our right to speak, as more and more areas from the places we shop, like become shopping malls where you can't go in because it's private property, to the advent of gated communities, there are fewer and fewer places where people can actually go to voice their opinions. And I don't know if that's more than a comment, but it's just something I've been noticing has been getting progressively worse, and I'm wondering where people think it's heading in the future.
Yeah, it's a good one. And in fact, we're going to be tomorrow, I believe, we're doing a show called Talking Back to Talk Radio, and we're going to be talking also about the whole program that the Bush administration, largely Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell, who was formerly a director of AOL, the giant media combine, that Michael Powell is promoting his agenda of consolidation of the media so that more very large corporations can control more and more of what we see on television, what we hear on the radio, what we read in the newspapers. And Kevin, I think you make a good point. What you're here in my hometown in Montpelier, Vermont. What are the symptoms? What are the signs that you're seeing around this?
It's just more. I don't see it as much here, but I just noticed. You know, it kind of struck home to me that during some of the Gulf War protests, I was up in the Church Street Marketplace, which is unusual because it's an outdoor public marketplace, and mm-hmm. people were able to protest there, but they were protesting directly in front of the mall, where as soon as you walked in there, like, legally you can't go in there and protest. They'll ask you to leave.
Right.
And I think that's just getting to be more of a problem.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Kevin, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call and your participation here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow. And thank you very much for joining us today. Do good. Have a great afternoon.
Through a hole in the air, from those beds, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.